Well, good morning. It's great as we gather together. Often when whoever's leading starts speaking, everyone shuts up and sits down really quickly. But hey, we take our time this morning. It's okay. It's okay because we come and we gather together here today in this time and this service of lament. As we know, we're a church family that's grieving the very recent loss of three wonderful people. People that have touched our lives in a very, very special way. For some of us that have only known them a short time, for others that have known them all our lives, it doesn't make it any easier. And so as we gather in this time, in this service of lament, we take time as a fellowship to cry out to God, to speak of our grief, to speak of our sorrow, to speak of our pain, and to seek Him for His hope, to hear again of God's promise and the thanksgiving of His steadfast love. Because in this time of lament, it offers us an opportunity and it creates a safe space to express that pain, that sorrow and that grief, or even confusion. Because as we search for answers, as we search in our questioning, we understand and we want to know the peace in the midst of this grief and this sorrow. But God also speaks into us and into our suffering, and then again, He offers that hope and assurance, and that's what we seek this morning. That hope and assurance that all is not lost, all is not in vain. So this morning we'll have, as a time of our sung worship together, there'll be readings, there'll be prayers, an opportunity to write messages and prayers for the board and for the basket as an offering up to God this morning. We'll also have an extended time of fellowship with shared lunch afterwards, and all are welcome. Don't worry if you didn't bring food, there's plenty through there. So as we start, let's pray this morning. Almighty, loving God, we come to You this day with heavy hearts. We come in a time of grief and of loss. We want to praise You that in Christ all our ends become His new beginnings and all our weaknesses are clothed in His strength. Lord, we want to praise You today that in Christ our times of emptiness are filled with hope. And our times of brokenness will find the only source of peace and wholeness through You. Lord, we come to You this day hungry and in need of Your love. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill this place. We've come because You have called us. We come in the name of Jesus Christ. And we come to declare the Father's love. We have come because You are here. So Lord, embrace us and empower us with Your Holy Spirit to truly acknowledge Your presence as we come to worship You and You alone, for Your name, for Your glory. Amen.
So I'd like to extend my welcome as well to you this morning. And in this service, I hope that you find peace and that comfort through the words that we're saying, through the words that you hear, through the songs that we sing. While I was preparing for this, I was listening, I don't know if anybody listens to Radio 2 Pause for Thought in the morning, and the Reverend Kate was on there, and she was sharing with everyone how she'd lost her mum, and how she, when she was thinking about losing her mum, this verse came to her. And I thought, you know, I'd been praying, God, give me a verse, you know, give me some verses that I can say in the morning, on Sunday morning, that really will touch everyone. And I just went, thank you, God, because this is the word verses. It's Isaiah 40, verses 6 to 8. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. God loves us, all of us. Even if we don't know Him, He knows us and he knows what we're going through, and he is with us in our pain, in our sorrow, as well as in our joyful times and when we're happy. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, we thank you. We thank you for your faith in us. We thank you that we have an assurance in you. We know that we have a hope in you. Heavenly Father, you are so great. You lift us up like wings on eagles when we don't have the strength to even put one foot in front of each other. Lord, you help us go out into this world. You are forever there. Comforter. Giving us the guidance. Speaking into our lives. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you come now. That you comfort those that are grieving. Those that are mourning loss. Speak into our hearts. Let us feel you, your presence around us. Let us run to your open arms, knowing that you are a good Father, that you are always there, watching over us, taking care of us, providing for us. Blessed be your name, Lord.
Seats, let us just take this time to reflect for a moment. Those songs that we've sung, the words that are within them. Some of the words may evoke some emotions, some feelings that we're experiencing. Asking our soul to cry out, asking our soul to come into a place and a presence with God as we cling to that hope and that assurance that we have in him. It's important that in this time that we lament, in this time that we grieve, in the sorrow that we feel, that it doesn't drive us to despair, but that it drives us into the arms of our loving God, where there is hope, where there is peace, a peace beyond all understanding, a peace that we can't fathom or figure out ourselves. And why worry trying to? Just receive, freely receive the grace that God is wanting to pour out. That peace that can settle upon our hearts, even when all around may be falling down. Even when we are in the deepest set of pain and grief, crying out. That peace can fulfill your hearts. And try and bring a little understanding, a little bit of searching, a little bit of healing in this moment. God is a God who journeys with us. He's not some distant being. He is right in the midst with us. He's been through some of the most painful things. And he, above all people, knows and understands exactly what we're going through. Whether we believe or not, that doesn't matter. Because God is there. And I think deep down for those that may be here or may be watching, whether you believe or not, you too know that deep down as well. Don't fight it, don't resist it. So, loving Father, in this moment, of individual reflection, we just want you to hear all of what we will say to you. In this moment of silence, we are able to offer our prayers, our feelings up to God, knowing that he is a God that listens, he is a God that hears, but more than that, he is a God that acts. So let's just take a moment in silence and let's just offer up those prayers, maybe those words, however they are, whether it's crying out in anguish, whether it's in anger, it matters not. God wants to hear how it is that we're feeling right now. So in this moment of silence, let's just offer those things to God now. Abba Father, creator of heaven and earth, we pour ourselves out to you this morning. We ask that you graciously hear our prayers, you hear our words, you receive our thoughts, Lord. As we pour out all to you, would you pour out all to us? Would you right here and right now just fill us with your love? Would you pour out your peace upon our hearts? May we be in no doubt this morning that we will encounter with you this day. Lord, we may be searching for answers. We may be having questions that are really difficult. Lord, we may not receive the answers, but may we receive you. May you be fully present here with us now. Holy Spirit, would you breathe afresh upon us? Would you give us that comfort that we seek? Would you bring us solace that we yearn for? Above all, Lord, would you just be an ever-present guiding light, not only today here in this moment, but for the rest of the day and for all our days to come. As we try and understand the situations that we face. May we face it with your strength. May we face it with your energy. May you give us the perseverance and the patience. May you give us the resilience to face each day afresh. Knowing, Lord, that all is not in vain, all is not lost, but that our souls can praise you and that our souls can reach out to you and find you. May you be found in this moment now. We ask this in your name. Amen. And speaking of our souls crying out, we come to a reading, one of the Psalms, a Psalm of Lament. There are many Psalms of Lament within Scripture, that lament of where our inner being, that inner something is crying out for the situations we find. And I think there's no psalm more poignant than Psalm 42 that may speak into our lives this morning. And I'll read this psalm and then we'll have an opportunity to write some messages and some prayers where we're able to evoke some of these feelings and emotions out and we're able to put them on the board in this basket. And whilst that happens, the band will play and sing a song as that goes on. But let's hear this message. It's Psalm 42, as I said. If you want to follow it in the Bibles in front of you, in the pews, it's on page 469. Psalm 42 says this: as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for your session to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, from Mount Mizar? Deep calls to deep, at the roar of my bones my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. We'll hear more of that in a moment, but here's an opportunity now to, as I say, write prayers or messages. The prayers, messages can be placed on these sticky notes, and then when you're ready, come and stick them onto the board. There's also pieces of paper if you want to write the same on there, and then you can place them on the basket here at the front. I'll get some little helpers to bring these around to you, but as you feel free, come and place them up on the board. Thank you. As we continue writing, and that's fine, and as I say, bring them up when you're ready, we want to remember those that we love but no longer see. And so in this time, especially the three wonderful ladies that we've lost so very recently, we name them and we light a candle for them, but we also light a candle for those that have gone before us as well. And so in this moment, we light this candle in memory of Maggie. And we pray, Father God, that her soul rests in eternal peace with you. And Lord, we light this candle for Zell. And Lord, we thank you for her. And we ask also that her soul rests with you in eternal peace. And we light this candle for Pat. And again, Lord, we thank you for her. We thank you for all of these beautiful women. For all that they have done. For all that they mean to us. For the love that they have given. For the love that they have shown. For the service and the dedication to worshipping and declaring your name. Lord, we lift them to you. And those that are also etched upon our hearts, may they be forever at peace with you. Amen. Yeah, Heavenly Father, our hearts are living for you. Lord, we come to you. May we be found in your presence. May, Lord, we take comfort in knowing that the loved ones that have gone before us are at eternal rest and at peace, where there is no more pain, where there is no more suffering, where there is no more sadness, but in eternal joy and in eternal happiness, something that we may not quite be able to understand, but one day will, when all will be made well, when all will come together for the greatness and the glory of your name. Lord, we may struggle. We may face days of anger and anguish. But Lord, would you comfort us? Would you show us that all is well? Would you give us that blessed assurance? Lord, we just seek you. Help us to make sense of life. A big question, I know, but Lord, help. So Father, as we come to hear your word, would you open our hearts to receive? Would you speak gently and tenderly to us? Help us to make sense in this time of lament. That as our souls cry out, may they cry out to you and be heard. And in so doing, would you speak into us? We ask this in your name for your glory. Amen. So as we look at this psalm, we may be wondering why. Why do we cry out so much? Even when we have hope and assurance of knowing where our loved ones go, it doesn't make it any easier. Sometimes it makes it more harder. As I said, those big questions come about. Why? What if? If only. How about when? What? But as we look at the beginning of this psalm, it begins with an, if you like, an evocative image of a deer panting for water. The deer is in need. It needs to be refreshed. It's longing for streams of water in a dry and weary land. And when we take that image, we may find ourselves in a dry and weary land. Although our faces may not be dry because they're soaked with the tears as they pour out, our souls find themselves in a dry, parched land, in a wilderness, if you like, in that wilderness wandering, as we often say sometimes, where we're lost. Because we too have lost someone. And so our soul pants for something that we cannot fulfill for ourselves. It pants, that inner being reaches out to something out there. Because we cannot fulfill ourselves. And so I say that that something is someone that we reach out to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be fulfilled, to bring about some kind of peace and understanding to the situation that we face. See, this captures the essence of our own spiritual thirst and yearning for God's presence. The psalmist's soul thirsts for the living God, echoing our own deep desire to be filled with the life-giving waters of God's grace and of God's love. You can cast your mind to John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, "I came to give life and give life in its full." In other parts of his journeying with his people, he says that "I am the living water. Whoever drinks from me will never thirst again." You can see where this alludes to, that it's nothing that often we can do, but often what Jesus can do for us. And here, the psalmist is recording these words, and they resonate with those who find themselves in a spiritual wilderness, a place of desolation, if you like, a place of longing. It's a place where doubts and questions echo out around all the time. And sometimes it can be like a foghorn constantly going off within our heads. It's sometimes like a whirlwind going round with all the troubles and the thoughts and the anxieties and the stresses and strains of life constantly revolving round, and we can't make head and sense of it. But when we're able to look beyond that and look at the one who is able to bring an order to this chaos, I don't say the whirlwind stops, but you certainly get that peace upon your heart. It gives you a break. It gives you an opportunity to just sit back and reflect whilst the whirlwind carries on. And it is the most strangest of feelings when you experience it, believe me. But it's an opportunity. It's a respite. It's a peace where our soul begins to no longer thirst, but is beginning to be quenched, is beginning to take some understanding. We wrestle often with the silence of God, where when we find situations or circumstances overwhelming, often we think, "God, where are you in all of this?" We sometimes think that God is some distant being, but often it's because our thoughts are taken up with other things, that sometimes God doesn't even get a look in. But it's often when we stop, as I say, and we reflect and look and cry out, is when we're able to look back and see, "Yes, God, there you are. The whole time you've been there." And it's when we look at that in those fragile moments, it's often where our faith feels fragile at the trauma of loss. Because it's traumatizing. When we lose loved ones so quickly. And yet even in that midst of that wilderness feeling and sensation, the psalmist clings to the hope of encountering God. And if we take anything from this today, so must we. For it's in these times that we find comfort and we find healing. When you open yourselves up, and you just allow to sit and to be and to let others help, to let God in, to let Holy Spirit flow amongst and breathe afresh, then comes about peace. Then comes about the start of healing and restoration once more. You see, the psalmist remembers these times of worship and joy in the presence of God. They recall that in the throngs of the people, it says, singing with joy and with thanksgiving. And we too can look back on great memories with those loved ones that we've lost. And remember the times of the singing and the joy and of the tribulations that we've had, the celebrations. And that warms our hearts. That floods back wonderful memories. And in that moment, it takes away some of the pain and some of the suffering for the moment. When we look back, the times we've sung, the joy in this place, in the places that we remember, where those memories allow us to evoke them. And then when we find ourselves snapping out of that, and the reality kicks back even harder, we can then look back at what the psalmist says of where he finds themselves in a state of inner turmoil, overwhelmed by sorrow. And here comes the hope. Because in that moment, in that poignant questions are asked in this moment that also resonates deeply within us. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Here is a moment of honest self-reflection. Here is a moment when you capture it, you're really looking inside at acknowledging the heaviness of our spirits within. Here in this moment, we recall the deaths of Maggie and of Zell and of Pat and people that have gone before us, and we probably haven't come to terms with their loss. And that will take time. And it's different for each and every one of us. And do you know what? That is okay. That is okay. We take our time in grief. It's not something to be rushed through and get over, that British stiff upper lip, if you like. Keep calm and carry on. No, we take our time in grief. We take our time in mourning for when it's right for us. But what we do is we do that together. We journey together in our grief and in our loss. We gather in these times to support and to hold one another. Because it's often in times like these, as I said earlier, we have those big troubling questions. Why? What if? How come? Maybe we can take comfort knowing that the faith of these three wonderful women enabled them to be assured of the eternal riches and glories that was given to them, of eternal life. They knew that one day that all would pass away and they would at last be with Jesus Christ. Maybe our hope can rest in that, knowing that they are with Christ. May not make it easier, of course not. We'd love them nothing more to be here with us today. But as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for every season. And very sadly, and with heavy hearts, that time of that season has come. But we take hope knowing of where they are. As I said earlier, that there are no more pain, no more tears, no more sadness for them. Because they are in eternal glory. And so we take time in the times that they reached out to us, to be blessed by the love that they gave, to the love that they showed, to the care, to the times of trouble, to the times of forgiving. And we recall with fondness in this time of lament of the wonderful legacy that they have left to each of us, be it as family or as friends. Because as we look back amid the lament, the psalmist remembers God's faithfulness. They recall how God's love accompanied them during the day, and as they sang the praises, even in the darkest of nights, they hold on to that hope that God will be their salvation and their God. And I have no doubt for a moment that these three wonderful women held that same assurance. They hold on to that hope even as they grapple with the overwhelming challenges that they faced. It was no different for Maggie, for Zell, or for Pat, the many others that have departed this earth. who for each of them faced the trials and the tribulations during their life, to which maybe we can recall all too easy. But how about we recall the hope, the love, the journey that we shared with them, faced in the strength of God and the continued support of each and every one of you as you journeyed with them through those times also. As we look back at the passage, we see where there's that crying out. And often with the Psalms, as we say, there's a turning point. There's always the turning point of hope. You hear, certainly in the Psalms of Lament, where the psalmist cries out. And this one's no different. Oh, my soul, why are you so downcast? Why have you forgotten me? But there's a turning point. You see, the psalmist engages in self-dialogue, encourages their own inner soul, if you like, to speak out, to put hope into God. They declare, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Because you see, in the midst of their lament, they find strength to trust God in his unfailing love, in his unfailing strength and steadfast presence. They find that they can't do it themselves because they find that they're in inner turmoil, not able to turn a corner, not able to lift themselves out. And so they put their hope not into something or some things, but someone. And it's through that there that they find that unfailing love and that steadfast presence. The psalmist's journey through lament, if you like, it teaches us that profound lesson about our own heartache and experiences. That we too can come. And remember that it's okay to acknowledge our pain and our grief. It's okay to acknowledge the suffering and the questions before God. Because lament invites us to embrace that tension, if you like, between the longing of our present reality and encouraging us to remember God's faithfulness in the past, even when circumstances may seem bleak. Within the lament, in our own wilderness moments, we can engage in self-dialogue. We can remind our souls to put our hope into God, creator of heaven and earth. We can remind ourselves to trust in him, even when we cannot see a way forward. And if you remember back to those of you that were here and took part into the series on unanswered prayer, sometimes we need to rest on other people's faith and prayers to get us through that. And that's okay, because often that's what's needed. But again, there's an opportunity to be able to do that. It teaches us that our longing for God is not in vain. It's a holy ache that draws us closer to the heart of God, shaping our faith and strengthening us in the days, the weeks and months ahead, just to be able to face them and get through them. Because often there's moments in time where you think, how am I going to get through the next 30 minutes, let alone the rest of the day? But you look back when the day is gone and the new day comes, or the new week or the new month, you look back and you see how far you've come. And you see those that have been around to help you through that. And you look a bit deeper and there you find the presence of God each time. As we take this moment, as I draw this message to a close and before we come around the table, let us hold on to some of the wisdom of Psalm 42. Let's embrace the honesty of our lament, allowing ourselves to feel the weight of our sorrows and loss, not to be burdened and weighed down by them completely, but to take time in acknowledging them, to take time in that self-acknowledgement, to allow ourselves to remember God's faithfulness, even when our circumstances may seem overwhelming. May we be reminded of the love, the warmth, the friendship of our dear sisters of Maggie, Zell and Pat and those that have gone before us. May we engage in the self-dialogue that encourages our souls to put their hope into God. As we journey through the wilderness, as we look around, let us be companions to one another, offering compassion, love, a listening ear, words of encouragement, as we fellowship together all the more. And may our longing for God lead us into that deeper intimacy with him, to the one who walks with us through every storm and leads us to the streams of living waters. Let's pray. Gracious God, in the wilderness of our lives, we cry out to you. Would you hear our words of lament? Would you see our pain and our longings? Would you give a listening ear? And Lord, when you know that we are ready, would you speak tenderly into our hearts? Would you pour out your healing and refreshing waters upon us, that our souls may find rest in you? Would you help us to put our hope in you and to trust in your unfailing love? Lord, would you give us thanks for the laughter and the tears that we've shared with our friends, for the things that they have said and did that made them so special, for particular moments that made them and our memories of them even more so special. We bring thanks to you in the name of Jesus, whose endless grace sustains and guides us now and forevermore. All glory be to you. Amen. Our seats as we come to the Lord's table. We're reminded in his word that even when the disciples felt that all was lost, that it was truly finished over, that he had died, but had not held on to that hope that when Jesus said, I will raise again and I will come and be amongst you. Either they simply didn't believe or their grief was too overwhelming for them to understand. And so we know that story so well that on that road to Emmaus, when all this had just happened, two of the people were walking back towards their home. And Jesus appeared to them. And they said, why are you so downcast? Imagine being asked that question. You just seen and heard that Jesus had been crucified upon that cross a few days before. You couldn't help but escape that news or see it. And yet here he was walking with them. And they turn around after being asked that question. Have you not heard? Where have you been? The one that came, the one that said, he is the one, has been crucified. And yet Jesus was right there in their presence of their grief with them and walked with them all the way back to their home. And they felt they needed to invite him in for hospitality. And so he did. And he sat there with them. And in his usual custom, he took the bread. And when he had broke it and given thanks, their eyes were opened to the revelation that Jesus Christ was there with them. Now we know that in that account, that after that moment, he was taken on away from them. And they was then left puzzled. Were our hearts not burning within us? That he was journeying with us and has just sat with us. Because he was right there with them in their moment of grief, in their moment of sorrow, and brought them hope and brought them understanding. And above all, brought them peace and salvation. We too recall the night before Jesus was betrayed and taken away, that in that upper room, as he sat with his disciples, as they were celebrating Passover, as was the custom, Jesus brought about that opportunity to bring the new covenant, to which we today, still, all these thousands of years on, celebrate and remember at what Christ has done for each and every one of us that know and love him as our Lord and Saviour. And so it's no different. And we remember too that on that night he took the bread, and when he had broke it, he had given thanks and said, "Take and eat, each of you. This is my body in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, as there were as many cups in that Passover meal. And he said that this is the new wine, my blood, which is poured out for all for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so in the remembrance of Christ until he comes again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that even at the time when Jesus was facing the persecution and before he faced the trials, he poured himself out to you and to the many others that was with him. Lord, he took that opportunity to bring about the new covenant. That simple meal, but of great significance and cost. And so, Lord, as we recount of that time, as we today recount, may we also remember at the great cost of sacrifice to you and to all of us. May we be found at your table with thankful hearts at the gift of salvation, at the gift of your grace and of your love. May we too eat and drink and remember of what Christ has done for us and will continue to do until that day that we look forward when we will drink it anew and afresh with you in heaven. So Lord, we ask that you bless this table. We ask that you bless each of us as we eat, drink in remembrance of you, for in your name, for your glory. Amen. As is our custom here, we will eat the bread as we receive it, and we'll take a cup and we'll retain it, and we'll drink that together as a sign of our unity at the end. But the bread and the wine will come round to you. Please, if for any reason you don't want to take it, just allow the elements to pass you by without any fear or embarrassment. Those that love the Lord Jesus, come, take and eat in remembrance with thanksgiving. And so we lift the cup together, remembering of all that Christ has done, the great sacrifice and price paid for each and for us. Let us drink in remembrance with thanksgiving. Amen. As we continue in our time of worship, we pray, Father God, we thank you that we can be found at your table. We thank you for your nourishment and your fulfilling, not only physically, Lord, but spiritually as well. Lord, we thank you that we can be found with you, in you, in that beautiful relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a unity and a bond that is unbreakable. Lord, may we be found with you all the days of our lives. Would you look upon us graciously and favourably, now and forevermore. Amen. And so as we draw this service to a close, let us pray and say with all certainty that God is in this place with us now and will always continue to be wherever we go. And so in that knowledge, we pray where the path is hard, he will be with you. When the road is unclear, he will be your guide. When the journey is difficult, he will hold your hand. When the destination seems far away, he will stay by your side. When the way is dark, he will be your light. When you cannot see the way ahead, he will protect you. When all seems lost, he will give you victory. When you feel alone, afraid and uncertain, he will hold you forever. When you go, he will always go with you. So go now in peace. Amen. Amen. Please do stay around. As I said, there is a shared lunch. We'll just take some time to prepare that, and then that will be through in the schoolroom. If you want to talk, if you want an opportunity to pray, then please come down to the front and we'd love to pray and to talk with you. But thank you. Take great care. God bless.